our Bibles to make our declaration before you. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. As many of you know, in seeing the news this past week, and I think it happened the week before, but we know we had one of our presidents pass away, George Herbert Walker Bush, which was the 41st president of the United States. You know, he did many, many great things. Some things you may agree with, some things you may not agree with. But in the office that he held, we respect that office and what he did in that office. And so I know we need to continually lift up their family, you know, because it's hard in losing somebody, you know, as you probably saw in the ceremony, not the one on Thursday, but the one on Wednesday, when the 43rd president, his son, was speaking and how he broke down and just really, it hits hard, you know, that he's lost his mother and his father within the year. And so we need to continue to pray for them and asking God to help them and to hopefully that they will come to the knowledge of Christ as far as being born again. And so continue to pray for them and asking God to move upon their hearts and minds. Amen. I want you, if you would, to turn to Judges chapter 10. Judges chapter 10. In Judges chapter 10, look at starting with verse 10. It says, "And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, We have sinned against you, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Did not I deliver you from the Egyptians, from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon, and from the Philistines, the Zenonims also, and the Malachites, and the Moanites did oppress you, and you cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the God which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation." Here we see in the book of Judges and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, we see this happening continually over and over again, where the children of Israel, God will come in and they will be oppressed by the enemy, and God will allow it to happen for them to be oppressed by the enemy. That's an amazing thing. You need to learn something from that. God allowed them to be oppressed of the enemy so that they would turn and come back to him. Because you see, from the time, you know, God chose Moses, then there was Joshua, then there was Gideon, and then you can read there was many more leaders that God gave them. Every time they would cry unto the Lord, God would come in and deliver them. They would fall away from the things of God, from serving the true God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God that took them out of Egypt and delivered their soul and brought them out and wanted to give them their own land. They would turn, it wouldn't take long, a few years or so, and they would turn, their hearts would turn from the true God unto another, so say, little God. How long, you know, does it take? Many, many times for them to turn their hearts from God. Now look at this. It says, look at verse 11 again. It says, and the Lord said unto the children of Israel. Now he started to remind them. He said, look, I know you in bondage. You turned from me and now you're serving Balaam. But I want to remind you, children of Israel, look what I've done for you. Did not I deliver you from the Egyptians? And what could they say? Yes. I want to remind you, did not I deliver you from the Amorites that held them in bondage? And all they could say was what? Yes. I want to remind you, children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Ammon children? And all they could say was yes. And then I also want to remind you that I delivered you from the Philistines. Do you remember that? And all they could say was yes. And from the Zenians, the Amalekites, the Ammonites, which oppressed you, and you cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hands. See, we live now, which is called the church age. The church age will end, we know that, when Jesus comes back, and that'll be the end of the church age. When the rapture of the church takes place, that's the end of the church age. Then we go on into other millenniums and stuff like that. But they would turn their hearts from God. Can you imagine? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that gave his all for his children would turn their hearts and turn to a God called Balaam. And God, now they had enough of Balaam. They were oppressed like never before. They were not blessed by Almighty God anymore. And God says, let me remind you how I took you out from Egypt, how I delivered you from the Philistines and from the Amorites. Let me remind you what I did for you. Then he says this in the next few verses. He said, now, when you cry, cry to them. Look, do you think God had enough? When you cry from now on, don't come to me. We're just talking about God. Okay, no, not God. Don't come to me anymore. Go to them. Go to the Egyptians. Go to the Amorites. Go to the Ammonites. Go to the Amalekites. Cry to them and let them deliver you. Or cry to your God, Balaam, and let him deliver you. Because I have enough for you. What God was saying was, that's it. Now, thank God that God is merciful. God is merciful. Look at the next few verses. Look at this. It says, look at verse 14. Go and cry to the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seems good unto you. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. It means that literally he could not bear their suffering any longer. He would answer their prayer and deliver them. His soul was grieved from the misery of Israel. He said, I'm leaving you into their hands, into Balaam. I'm leaving you with all. Let them answer your prayers now. Let them deliver you. Let them give you the food that you need. You know, whatever. And they started crying out to the Lord. And God says, I hear your prayers. So merciful, people. So merciful. And because of their grieving, it was grieved for the misery of Israel. It says that he could not bear their suffering any longer. How merciful is our God, no matter what. Even though God had had enough for a little while, because they called out to God, God could not bear their suffering anymore. People, what I'm trying to get at is this. How good a God we have. How many times have we turned a little bit from serving Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we get in trouble? Get into some big trouble. And call out to God and say, Lord, help. Even when we're doing right sometimes, God will allow certain things to come our way. But then we got to serve God with everything. He could not bear hearing their misery or their suffering anymore. You know, that's like, you know, when your children are hurting physically or something happens to them, and you hear that, you know they're hurting. It's hard to bear as a parent. You know, when something happens to them and you really can't change anything, but it hurts on the inside. And we're far from God. But He couldn't bear the pain, even though the scriptures at the beginning says He had enough. I mean, it was enough. I mean, for God to say He had enough, that means they turned. And no telling what they were doing as they worshiped Balaam. Can you imagine his people worshiping a statue, a wooden carved image, and God in heaven watching and seeing them bow their knee before something that is not Him? See, God does not want our hearts to be divided between the things of this world and Him. He's looking for a people that will give their hearts to Him and serve Him to the best of their ability. As we learn the scriptures, as we hear His voice, as the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, works on our lives, that we serve God with everything within us, with purity of heart, with humbleness of mind, you know, with an anointing and a power upon our lives to do His will and to accomplish His will. God is looking for a people that will take things off that are of the world and lay those things down and say, Father, I will serve You with everything within me. You know, I preached for the last 2 Sundays about we're the light of the gospel, people, upon the earth. There's no other light. No other light at all. True light. Jesus is the true light. That's all. And the light that He shines in us is all that the world will see. We got to let that light shine. Let that light shine for the gospel's sake. That means making some tough decisions to do what is right when it hurts us. To do what is right no matter what. To do what is right no matter what. To live a life that is pleasing unto the Father and unto Him. You know, in Matthew, there's another, it says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's in Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You have those scriptures? Yeah, look at that. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. With Him it's easy, people, because we rest in Him. Activity doesn't mean spirituality. Activity. Now, God wants us to do things for the kingdom of God. But activity doesn't measure up spirituality at all. Now, when God says for us to do things, we do those things. God expects us to work in the church, to do this and to do that. But God says, well, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God wants us to have rest for our souls, that we rest, as Andrew preached, upon the rock of salvation, that we rest in Him as things come about, as storms rise up, that we rest in Him, in the things that He has called us to do. That means we give Him those things that may burden us, that we give Him those things that cause us pain and suffering, that we give Him those things that make the burden very heavy upon our lives. We give it to Him, and we ask God to move upon those situations, and we let Him carry it. You know, if you have a heavy load, and you take a wheelbarrow, and you fill that thing with dirt or whatever, rocks, dirt, whatever, and you pick it up, it can be heavy. But I tell you what, if someone else comes on the side of you and helps you pick it up, that's only half that you really have to roll down the road or carry. Christ wants to carry the burdens that are upon our hearts and upon our lives. You know, when we cry out to Him, He hears our voice. He hears our voices speak. And He says, what do I need to do? He knows already what He needs to do. As we cry out to Him, He listens to our voice. He listens to the things that we pray about. He listens to the things that we're telling Him. And He will do what He needs to do when He needs to do it. That's who God is. I want you to turn to Matthew as we read these other scriptures. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. This is some familiar scripture to you. Look at starting with verse 1. It's called the Parable of the Ten Virgins. Chapter 25, starting with verse 1. Says this: Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, that there be not enough for us and you, but go you rather to them who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they who were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he said, answered and said, Verily I say to you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. Here we see a great analogy of 10 virgins coming. We know it speaks of the church. We know it speaks of Jesus coming back for us. But here we have these 10 ladies, virgins, waiting for him to come, for the bride. Now, they all had their lamps, and they're all waiting. It took so long that they fell asleep. Not that there was anything wrong with that, it just takes long. Many people are telling us today, we've heard it for so long that he's coming. I don't think it's true anymore. They've waited so long that they think, but I don't think that's true anymore. That he's probably not coming. I just don't believe it anymore. When the Bible speaks of something, he speaks of something that is true. And we know Jesus is coming for his church. We can be either wise or not. We can either have our lamps full of oil and have oil ready to pour into it so that as we trim our wicks, that we're ready for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, they slumbered and slept. They were tired, waiting so long. But when the brides announced, when the bridegroom announced that he was coming in, they got up. Five of them had oil in their lamps ready. They trimmed that wick and would let that light shine. Five of them went to trim. They trimmed their wicks and looked, tried to light it up, and there was no oil in the lamp. That's like a Christian being without the Holy Spirit. No oil. Oil represents that Holy Spirit, the power of Almighty God in our hearts and in our lives. That means they forsook who they were supposed to serve, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That the oil wasn't there anymore to light it up. That means if there's no oil and no Holy Spirit and the wick you trim it and there's no light, that means their light had gone out. We're to let our light shine. And let me tell you, they went to the ones that had some and said, give me yours. Give me yours. And they told them, no, go buy some down the road. Go get your own. People, we need to be ready for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to let that light shine wherever we are. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. You know, let's not be like Israel, falling away from God and then coming back. Falling away from God and coming back. That we have a constant energy on the inside of us. We have a constant tenacity towards God. That we will serve him no matter what happens in our hearts and no matter what happens in the world. That we have a heart for God no matter what. That we will serve him to the day he comes back or we close our eyes and pass away. Whatever it may be, that our hearts are sold out to the King of Kings. That God is looking for a people that will solely serve him with everything, people. We don't want to be half-hearted towards the things of God. We want to be whole-hearted towards the things of God. That I didn't say perfect, but whole-hearted towards the things of God. Say, Lord, you see the things that need to be worked on in my heart and life. Lord, work on them. Lord, you see the things that I need to overcome. Lord, help me to overcome them as I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. That we're ready to receive the King. That our hearts are, yes, forever looking to that eastern skies. As one day it says that he will split those eastern skies and come back for his people. Come back for us. We're living in a time where they say that will never happen. Pastors have to declare it will happen. People got to believe it, that it will happen. That he will come back one day. We know he's coming back from us. That we ever look to that because of who he is and what will happen. Let's not turn from believing what God will do. Let's turn to him and ever have our faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. Let's keep that lamp. You know, look at just a lamp for the Lord. The Holy Spirit. You might say, well, how do I do that? Put your faith in Christ, people. Ever looking to him. And say, Lord, fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Let that oil flow from heaven above unto me. Mm. we're hearing mighty things happen within your lives. Mighty things are happening. I mean, you may not realize, but the things you share with me, it's an amazing thing what God is doing. Amazing. How God is moving upon men and women's lives like never before. Filling up that vessel. You see? Because that vessel has to be full to know the voice of God, that God can use us in whatever capacity or whatever way that we need to be used, so that we can do the will of the Father. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. My Lord, thank you, Lord, that we can walk in that freedom and liberty of not being burdened down by the things of the world or the things of the church or the things of activity. But Father, your burden that you give us, you carry it for us. Praise God Almighty. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Look at this. It says, then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are worn out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, that there not be enough for us, that you go, and rather to them who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they who were ready went in with him in the marriage, and the door was shut. When Jesus shuts that door for you, it's shut. It's shut. Ten of them, all supposed to be Christians, people. But five didn't make it. Five, you know, in this scenario. Because he had to hurry up and go by. Oh, try to buy. And came back, and Jesus comes, or the bridegroom comes. And he says to them, what does he say? Come in. Look. Afterward also the other virgins say, Lord, Lord, open the door. Look, verse 10. And they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, who were ready, went in with him to the marriage. Now that's it. And they who were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. That's very powerful. Those that were ready. We often think, well, you know, if you're in church, you're ready. You know, it's only by the blood of Jesus. That's it. And constant faith in what he did at Calvary's cross. We may be surprised if we probably don't know, because that the agony or whatever, the ones that will not make it. We often think, well, you know, if you accept Jesus, that's right. But you got to accept him and live for him. Got to accept him as Lord, but you can't live like the devil after that. You know? And I know God say, look, you're faithful, God. I know it. And we got to live for God. We got to let God live through us and do what God calls. Because it says that he shut the door. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. He shut the door. And when he shut the door, that was it. You know, when Noah built the ark, you know, God told Noah how to make it. I mean, how high, how big, how long, the different compartments, everything down to what wood to use, what mud to use, how to make it. And him, his wife, his three sons, their wives worked on that boat for years and years. Years and years. And people walked by and laughed and laughed and laughed at them. Oh yeah, flood, they never saw that before. They never saw rain come down. They never saw that before. Because you see, the dew would come and water in the mornings, the grass and the things that needed to be, that's how it was done. And they laughed at him. But it says that Moses and him tried to preach the gospel to people, trying to get it out to the people. And all of a sudden, it was finished. And God called in the animals two by two. Can you imagine that day? I wish I could have saw that. They didn't have to stop at 7 because of, you know, certain sacrifices and whatever. But let's just see, you know, you're out there looking. Just that, if I wasn't of Noah's family, maybe I would have gotten that boat. Just seeing two of the male, female coming of zebras and camels and elephants and, I mean, you know, my Lord, horses. I mean, a parade of animals and you see nobody leading them, but you see it's the Spirit of God bringing them in. And they come into that boat and they settle where they need to settle at. And then God shuts that door as they all got in. Shutting of that door. And all of a sudden, as they were in there for days and nothing's happened, all of a sudden, the water burst open from underneath the ground and on top. I mean, it was a massive. I don't think I know everybody drowned that was not in the boat. But I don't think it took long because it was massive. That's why you have the Grand Canyon and all that stuff. I mean, the mountains that are so high because of the pressure of the water that came forth from the underneath the ground, you know, the earth that came up and the water that came from the heavens, that it just didn't take long to flood the earth and destroy mankind. But God was still, so when God shuts the door, he shuts the door. But you see, we have to realize this. We got to do everything we can to preach the gospel. We got to do everything we can to stand for it and say, that's not right. That's not easy. Because everybody wants to be right. I mean, really, you know, who likes not to be liked, you know? But if you got to stand for it, even though your knees might be trembling, you got to stand and say, no, I can't do that. That's not correct. Let your light shine. Especially during this Christmas season, let your light shine. When you gather your family and friends, let your light shine. Because that might be the only light that they'll see. So you got to let it shine if you're meeting with them. Let your light shine at work. Let your light shine at school. Let your light shine for the gospel's sake. You know, ask God to use you to share the gospel with people. You see, we have a mighty God that is wanting to pull in the harvest, but he needs people that are going to take a sickle in their hand and start cutting that grain, start cutting those stalks, start cutting at that rice as the harvest. You see, you know, we have combines and all that stuff, you know, but years ago they didn't have all that stuff. They had to do it by hand to bring in that harvest. You couldn't go out there with your bare hand and try to bring in the, you know, and cut the stalks. You have to have some kind of sharp object. We have the Word of God, which is a sharp sword that brings in the harvest. Lord, help us to preach the gospel uncompromisingly. Lord, help us to preach the gospel uncompromisingly. And every time you take your sickle and you cut that wheat or you cut that rice of harvest, you're letting your light shine for the gospel's sake. Letting Jesus shine through you that he is alive and well, that he is the Savior of the world. You know, many people out there, they believe that Jesus lived, but they don't believe he's the Savior of the world. Oh, he was a great man. He did many good things, you know. He fed a lot of people, maybe. He did a lot of good stuff. But they don't think he's the Savior of the world. We got to declare that Jesus is the Savior of the world, no matter what's going on. Amen. No matter what's going on. This is when we pray, Lord, give me wisdom. The book of James says, Lord, give me wisdom. and God will give you wisdom beyond measure to stand up for what is right and truth, no matter what. No matter if it hurts on the outside, it's pleasing to the Father that lives on the inside. That's the thing we're worried about. That's the thing we've got to do. Let your light shine as those, as the bridegroom came out to meet his bride. Instead of needing 10, he had 5, which represented the whole church. 5. Let your light shine. Keep the oil flowing as you worship, as you praise him, as you honor him. Might say, man, this is tough. Well, you know, we need to serve him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. As God said to Joshua, he said, encourage yourself. Be of good courage. I am with you. Be of good courage. I am with you. As he said to Joshua, and he wanted Joshua to do many things. Joshua got scared. But God. See, God may ask you to do some things. Because I know he's asked me to do some things that I'm pondering on. And I'm saying, Lord, okay, you're going to have to help because I don't know how to do it. So what you do, you go to God and you say, Father, help me. Don't say, Holy Spirit, help me. You never pray to the Holy Spirit. There's not one scripture in the Bible that says, pray to the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit is there at the beckoning command of the Father, though, to help us. We are to pray to the Father through Jesus Christ. His name, and the Father executes or gives out the Holy Spirit to come and help us. Help us. You might say, well, will God overlook that if I say that? He may, but that's not correct according to the Word. Never pray to the Holy Spirit. That's not his job to be prayed to. We're to lift up the Father through his Son, Jesus. That's what the Scripture says. And so as we keep our faith in Christ, God may ask us to do many things. Because you see, the harvest is plentiful. Let's take our sickles and whatever he asks. It may be one-on-one, or it may be a group of people that you got to go talk to. God will open up doors if you're humble before him. And you say, Lord, help us. Help us. See, many people are looking for the truth. Many people are tired of old, dead religion. They're looking for a relationship, a true relationship to the Father, a true relationship to some kind of God. And we got to be able to offer that to them, saying, I know the God that you're looking for. You know, was it Peter that he went to Antioch, was it? And they had all kind of monuments to all kinds of gods. Was it Peter? Yeah, I think so. And they had one of them that said, they had all kind of gods, and one of them said to the unknown God, I think it was. And he said, and he told them, he said, I know who the unknown God is. And he started telling them about Jesus. See, they're looking. We got to tell them. But I know the devil's out there, and he's going to try to tell you that everybody's hard, and nobody wants to know about God. There are some hard ones. And there are some that don't want to know about God. But let me tell you, the harvest is plentiful. And when God says the harvest is plentiful, and that means God, the Holy Spirit, he is working upon them. Because the Father has commissioned him to work. We got to go and harvest it. It's an amazing thing. You ever thought about this? That we're the only ones that can harvest it. The souls of people. Now, what I'm talking about is that we have to go in and tell them about